Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. B'chayrus Daf Nun Beis. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Nun Aleph on Beis, 3 lines from the bottom. So, as we know, a b'chayr is entitled to a double portion from his father's inheritance. But, says the Mishnah, a b'chayr is only going to be taking noitel pishnayim, 2 portions, b'nichsiav, in his father's assets, upon his father's passing, but not in his mother's assets. Suppose she has her own assets, fields that belong to her from before the marriage or even during the marriage, she inherited something. Upon her passing, the b'chayr will get just like anybody else. He does not take double portions b'nichsiyem in the mother's assets. Now, even within the father's estate, he's only entitled to pishnayim on the assets that were there, that were present at the time of his father's passing. But suppose there's some improvement in the assets. Okay, they improved after father had passed away. On that additional improvement, the b'chayr has no double entitlement. Ve'ein neitel, there's a girus in the Bach, ve'ein neitel pishnayim. He will not take pishnayim in the extra, b'shvach, only in the original field. Rashi explains, so what do? You basically have to compensate the brothers for the added shvach, for the improvement in the second portion that he's taking. Because that extra, that addition, belongs to all the brothers equally. So he has to compensate them for that extra. Furthermore, v'loy b'roy, he's not entitled to pishnayim on material that had not yet been in his father's possession at the time of passing. It was roy, it was destined. It was anticipated. That is not considered kibbutz muchzak, like something that he actually had. In which case, pishnayim does not apply to that. Let's turn to the next element. So not only does a b'chayr have these limitations, only from assets that were in the father's possession, in the actual possession, not roy, not shvach, these limitations apply to other collectors as well. A woman with respect to collecting a ksuva pay after her father's or her husband's passing, she can only access things that he actually had based on the condition at the time of her husband's passing, as opposed to shvach, as opposed to roy. And likewise, we have bonos b'mzenisayin. Here we're speaking that a husband committed to a support his wife's daughter, stepdaughter, X amount of years, and now this father passes away, this husband passes away, she's still entitled to collect, because it's a debt, just about like any other debt, but again, only from those assets that were there at the time of his passing. And also, v'loy hayavam. So Yavam is a fellow who does Yivam, marries the deceased brother, the fellow passed away childless, his wife. So the Pasuk says he's like a Bechor. V'hoya Bechor Shetelet. And the Gemara learns that we treat him like a Bechor, which means to say that he's entitled to basically take over his brother's portion in their joint father's estate, in their joint father's inheritance. So pretty much he takes double pay, takes double portion, one for himself, one for his departed brother, whose wife he just gave him to. And again, that access regarding that second portion is limited to actual nechassim that were there, not to the shvach, or stuff that arrived later. As the Mishnah wraps it up, the chulam, and in fact all these individuals, a regular b'chur vis-a-vis his father's estate, a woman in her ksuba collection, a daughter in their mezonos collection, Yavam, with respect to taking over his brother's portion in their father's inheritance, Kulam, Vekulam, Einoitin, Beshvach, they don't take Shvach, nor Veloy Baroy, nor things that were intended to arrive, but not yet in his possession, Kiv Muchsuk, as those that were in his possession, meaning we don't treat them like Muchsuk, and they're not accessible. My time. Okay, so back to the first halacha with the Bukhar takes Bishnaim. Only in father's inheritance, not the mother's. My time on Makro. Veloy Mishpata Bukhar. So the pasuk they were speaking about the father, right? That his son will take Bishnaim. Veloy. Only regarding him, the father. Veloy Mishpata Bukhar. Mishpata Bukhar. This Bukhar system is only Leish, vis-a-vis the father's estate, but not the mother's possessions. Ve'ein Mishpata Bukhar Leisha. Likewise, the Bechor would not access Shvach, only things which were actually in his possession, not what came later. Nor does he access things which were intended to arrive, but hadn't yet been Muchsuk. Once again, the same Pasuk. Denoting only possessions that were on hand. The same rules apply to an isha regarding her ksuba collection. The question is why? You would think she's a regular bal chayiv. She's owed money, right? It's not a yerusha. It's not a. Is that so that she can't access the yishvach, the element of improvement, on the husband's assets? Vamar Shmuel, Baal Chayv, a regular Baal Chayv, a fellow who's owed money. David HaShvach, he can collect even from Shvach. Rashi explains. So what happened was, Reuven lent Shimon $1 million. Shimon went and sold some properties. Comes paid it, there's no money to pay. Reuven goes and repossesses those possessions. With the Shvach as well. With all the added extras that the customer added and improved. Lock, stock, and barrel. So why can't the Isha do the same? Isn't she a regular Baal HaShvach? She's owed this money by the husband on account of their ksuba commitment. Omar Abba, you're right. Technically she could, but there's a din de rabbanon. Mekule ksuba shanukan. This is one of the leniencies that relate to ksuba that was applied here as well. Somewhere elsewhere explains that the Chachamim wanted to make it more attractive, that marriage should be something sought after, that men should be more drawn to marriage, and knowing that not going to be oversaddled with the, you know, their obligations, so they made it easier on him, so to speak, so that although she's entitled, but up to a point, so therefore she cannot access Shvach. V'lo habon has been saying likewise, a stepdaughter, right, from the stepfather's assets, my taima, because really it's a tanai ksuba, it's a condition sort of incorporated into the ksuba, in the actual marriage document, and therefore ksuba dami, treated like the other elements of the ksuba, which we just learned, is limited without access to shvach. So this as well is given that same parameter. Likewise, this yavam, upon assuming you know the yavama as a wife, although he's entitled to take over his the departed brother's portion in their joint father's inheritance, but he's limited to actual possessions, not Shvach or Roy, my time of why. What's the connection? I mean, he's not a Bechor. Yes, Bechor Kari Rachmona. Torah refers to him as a Bechor. He's like a firstborn in terms of double entitlement. He gets a double portion from their father's possession. One is own and one is the part of the brother. So therefore, he's treated accordingly and he follows the same system as a Bechor. No Shvach, no Roy. Amar Abai. Says Abai Leishana, when is this true that he can't access the Shvach? That's only Shvach that happened before he did the Yivam. Okay, so let's say, you know, brother passed away, then their father passed away. Before he got a chance to do Yivam, there's Shvach and all that, right? So he's not entitled to that because it's still early in the game. He hasn't done Yivam yet. He's not entitled to the Shvach that happened there. Talking about the nechasim which improved ben misa between the father's death yivam to the yivam of this brother. So that shvach doesn't belong to him. But shvach that occurred after he performed the even before he got a chance to divvy up the, you know, the properties. It's already his. His brother's portion had already been tagged as belonging to the Yavam, in which case whatever happens to them, they get enhanced, they get improved, it's all his gain. Shakli gets it. My time of why? Yakum al shem achav ames. Amrachman, the Torah says, this brother does Yivam, his brother's wife, he assumes his ownership. He takes his place in their father's inheritance. Already come, he did that. So once he performed the Yivam, it's sort of like he takes him over and he assumes ownership. Rashi says, it's like Birushusa. We treat it as though that portion, wherever it is, even before actually taking possession of that, is Birushusa in his possession, is under his deed, under his title, and whatever happens is his gain. Rashi says in the bottom line, Birushusa, Birushusa Yashbuch, any improvement, any gain, any additional growth in that field is his. Therefore, he gets Pishnaim even on the Yashvach. Rava disagrees until you get it, it's not yours. Rava Amma filled the Yivam Chalukah Nami Leshakel. He won't take even Shvach that occurred between Yivam and allocation of the properties. My Taimo, you know why? Ki Bachar. Once again, we treat him like a Bachar. And a Bachar only gets until he gets, right? Only once he assumes possession, then it's his. But otherwise, Ma Bachar Einloi Kodim Chalukah like a Bachar. Is not entitled to any part of the Shvach that happened before he actually got it. Likewise, but the Yavam, same story. He's not entitled to things that happened before the allocation. Now, why does the Mishnah have to wrap it all up again? Once it already introduced it in the beginning, that they can't access Shvach, they can't access Roy, this applies to Bachar, to the Isha, to the Bonus, to the Yavam. What's the point of wrapping it up again at the end of the Mishnah by saying V'chulam, all these individuals ain't the Mishmach, no Shmach, no Roy? Apparently we're trying to add another twist, another detail to this halacha. We turn to Amud Beis. Okay, so V'chulam ain't the Mishmach. Which Shvach are we adding here? But even that they can't access. A more subtle Shvach. L'suya to include even Shivcha d'Meila. So not only can't he access, you know, improvement that was generated by the brothers, but even natural improvement. For instance, chafura v'havashuvli. You have the chafura, which is the green, you know, green grass. The grain hadn't yet, and then suddenly v'havashuvli. There are fully grown stalks ready to go. So nobody invested. I mean, their brothers didn't do it. It just happened. Hashem made it. So maybe that he can access. Or Shafufi, these small budding dates. Now they're fully grown dates. And the Chiddush is even that is considered Shvach, that he can't take. Double on that. And here comes another element of Roy, which is a more advanced Roy. Right, which even that he can't access. What's that? Now, so to include even nichse davi'avo, the assets of the grandfather, which were destined to come one day or the other. Right, eventually the grandfather is going to pass away and leave it behind for his kids and grandchildren. So even though he knew that it was meant to come, so then what happened was the grandfather, let's call him Yaakov, had a son Reuven, who had a couple of sons. The firstborn is Chanoich. He's a Bachar. Chanoich is entitled to Bishnaim, in whose assets? In their father, right? In Reuben. What about in the grandfather's assets? Grandfather was still alive when Reuben passed away. But ultimately, we knew it's intended for Reuben's family. Eventually, Yaakov's going to pass away. So perhaps that's not really called Roy. It's already en route. Yeah, I understand the uncle's assets. You never know where it's going to end up. Maybe by his family. If he has no kids, it's going to end up on this side of the family. So, you know, who says his kids are going to die, it's going to end up on this side of the family. It's not going to end up here at all. That's called Roy. But the grandfather, direct link, direct chain, it's going to come right down the chain. So perhaps that's not really called Roy. No, even that's Roy. The fact is, because at the time of Reuben's death, Yaakov was still alive and well. His nechasa would not be a transfer to Reuben's possession. So now Reuben's Bechur is not entitled to Bishnaim in Yaakov's inheritance when eventually it comes to be. Right? Despite the fact that technically it goes through their father, right? When Yaakov passes away, the Nechasim sort of get channeled through Reuven over to Reuven's kids. It doesn't matter, because the fact is it wasn't in Reuven's possession during his lifetime. Okay, so in conclusion, a Bechor takes Bishnayim in father's assets, not mother's. Only something which he had, as opposed to Roy, as opposed to Shvach. And this rule applies to an Ishe B'Ksuvasa because of Kulik Suva. Bonois B'mzen Hesem, because it's equated to the Aloha of Ksuva as well. And likewise to the Yavam. Continues the Mishnah. Now we shift to a slightly different topic. We have the Psukim and the end of Vayikra, which speak about properties being returned to their original owners, come Yovel. Okay, so once in 50 years, Yovel, everything goes back home. But that only applies to a mecher, a sale. You buy a property, come Yovel, it goes back to the owner. But let's say it's inheritance. It's a gift, says the Mishnah. Elu she'enon, chozer b'yovel, the following properties will not revert to the original owner, come Yovel. Ha'bechira. Okay, the second portion of the bechor, we treat it like an inheritance. It's not like a sale. It's not like, right? That stays by him. Vayorish es ishtoy. Person inherits his wife's assets. He's a yorish, like any other. Vamiyavim es ishtoy ochiv. Likewise, vamiyavim on his brother's wife, right? He keeps the extra portion in their father's possessions, like it's his own. A matana or a gift. Divrei Meir. So Meir holds that a matana, it's not like a sale. Okay, so that stays permanently by the recipient. V'achacham and Ramim, no, they disagree on that last point. Hamatana kemecha, just like a sale goes back, likewise a gift, which is learned from an extra word in the pasuk. Rav Lezo Omer disagrees on the whole list. Kulam chozim b'yevel. All these individuals have to return their assets back to the original owners. Right? So the bechor has to give it back to the other brothers, etc., etc. Kam yevel. Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yochai Omer, now this last clause in the Mishnah, the Gemara will explain for us, and it doesn't really have to do with the previous halacha, so we'll wait until we see it in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Bar Yochai Omer, Hayeres Yishtoy, a fellow who inherits his wife's assets, Yachso Bnei Mishpacha, he must return it back to the family, V'yinake Lehem Adamim, and he has to deduct from the price. Again, we'll see that in the Gemara. My time of Rameya. So Rameyer maintains that a gift, a fellow received property as a gift, he keeps it permanently. There's no returning it by Yovel. Why? My time to Rameyer. Well, Mecher. Look in the Pasuk. Mecher hudam rachmanu lihadar. B'Yovel. Torah instructs us to return a sale, property that was purchased. But matana v'Yerusha loy. Not a gift, not a Yerusha. V'hani, and all these items in the Mishnah fall under either under the Matana category or the Yerusha category, Vahani. And all these, the Yerusha, those that are classified as Yerusha, okay, Yerusha, for keeps. Those that are classified the Matana like a gift, Matana. Let's go down the list. A Bechor, on his second portion, that's like a Matana, it's gifted to him. Los Lepishnaim, Losis means it's a Matana, it's like a gift. Kai Rechman Teri labels it as a gift, you keep it. Vayeres es Yishtoy, okay, because Yerusha Sabal de Raisa. We learn from a pasuk that a fellow inherits his wife, so it's like Yerusha, like any other. Of course, he keeps it. Likewise, a yavam. Why? As we learned earlier, bechor, kari rachman, Torah gives him the status of a bechor, and just like a bechor, which is considered like a matana, it's his for keeps. The same here. V'achachamim oimim matana kemecher. Chacham take issue with that last point that matana. Well, that's like a mecher. My tamay the rabbana. Why? Toshuvu. It's an extra word in the pasuk. The rab is matana. To tell you, even matana goes back to the owner. Okay, but that's only by matana, as opposed to the other fellows. That's legitimately theirs. For keeps. Why? Not necessarily because of Rameh's reasons, which were based partially on matana, because going to rabbanan, matana is not enough reason to keep it. Rather, they learn a bit differently. Bahani Kulu and all these items, all these people, Yerusha Ninu. In fact, they're considered Yerushim. And Yerushim certainly keep what's theirs. Because by the Bechor, Amakrolos lePishnayim, Torah instructs us to give him double portion, so we sort of link the two together. Pishnayim is like one package. We connect, we compare the bonus to the base. Makash Chelek Bechor, we compare the bonus portion, the Chelek Pashat, to the base portion. Ma Chelek Pashat Yerusha, just like we understand that the base portion is certainly inheritance for his Tekib, Av Chelek Bechor, Yerusha likewise the second portion. That covers Bechor. That covers Yerusha's Ishtoi, that's a Yerush, and the Miyav Abisash's Achiv, which is compared to Bechor, which we just concluded has a Din of Yerusha. So we got it all covered. Rav Leza takes issue with the entire list. He turns it right upside down. Rav Leza Omer, Kulam Chayshim B'Yav. No, all these individuals have to return their assets to the original owners. Why? He flips the entire thing around. On the one hand, Sovlek Rabbanon, Damri, when it comes to Matana, he goes with the Rabbanon's approach. Toshuva, the word Toshuva, the Rabbis Matana, Klav is Matana as well. And guess what? The rest are considered Matana. Vani Kulam, all these individuals. Bechor, Yerushas Ishtai, Miyavim, consider like matana. Why? So let's start with Bechor. Losses lebishnai. Losses means it's a gift. Like inheritance from the Patsak, a gift. Matana karechmana. And therefore, we treat it like a gift. And it reverts to the original after Yoyvel. To the owner at Yoyvel. But Yerush is Ishtai, likewise a Yerush. You would think he's a Yerush? No. Yerush is Habal the Rabban. Really? The whole concept that a husband inherits his wife is from the Rabbanon. And they only gave it the power of a matana. They didn't give him the power of a yerush. Hence, it's only till Yoyvel. And then finally, Bama Yavim, Eshesh Es Achiv, which the pasuk relates to as a Bechor, Kai Rachman, the Torah calls it a Bechor, not just like a Bechor, we just concluded it's like a matana. Likewise, he has that same status. Okay, so we have three opinions regarding these individuals. Rav Leza says it all goes back Yoyvel. Rameh says none except for the all those do not go back. Rameh Chacham say that none go back except for Matan. Amar be'asim Rabbi Yechanan. Although we hold that the Bechor keeps his second portion even past the Yovel, but you should know that they divide it. Because when brothers divide assets, a regular case of two brothers, irrespective of the Bechor element, let's say two brothers that are not Bechorim, okay? For example, there was a girl first, okay? So now they divide the father's assets. There are two ways to look at it. Do we say Yesh Bereira? Whatever Reuven gets was destined for him. He's just sort of, it's being revealed, it's being verified, confirmed that this is really his to begin with, and he's getting it directly from the father. Do we say no? It's one big pot, and now they're sort of negotiating. Okay, I'll take your part in this half, in exchange for my part in your half. It's sort of an exchange, it's like a transaction, like a purchase. Ha'ach and shechoka lukucha, saying they're treated like purchasers, and therefore, just like a buyer has to return at Yovel, same here. Machzirim zelzav yovel, they give it back to each other, come yovel, and then they reallocate and they divide it. Moise Raveshi, have a question. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, ve'elu she'en chozim b'yovel, ha'bachor, our Mishnah states that a bachor does not return his property, come yovel. Amar Rulazar, yeah, he doesn't lose it, but he has to reallocate and redivide it. Mayin chozim, what does Mishnah mean, en chozim? En chozim v'atolo. We don't annul his rights and his privilege and his ownership. Right, but you redistribute it. La talakama. Maskel Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes has a kasha. So do you mean that according to Rav Elazar, who says that kam yovel it all goes back? He means to say that in fact the bechor loses that second portion for good, not just they reallocate it. It's lost. It's only his temporarily to yovel. Maskel Rav Sheshes, Machlal. So you mean to imply the Mandam HaChozrin, that the opinion that says it goes back, Rav Elazar in the Mishnah, Chozrin Vatol Kamer, means that he loses that ownership? And the answer is yes. That's his opinion. Kori Rav Chama, Lid Rav Sheshes, Rav Chama, applied to Rav Sheshes, the Pasuk in Kehelas. Toiv HaChachma, Im Nachla. It's great that chachma, when chachma accompanies, when wisdom and analysis and depth accompanies nachla, inheritance, expertise, you know, vast knowledge of Torah is accompanied with by understanding and wisdom. So if Sheshes was known to be a huge bucky, right? Vast knowledge of Brises and Halachas, right? And we need to have some understanding with it. Meaning, yeah, the observation is exactly true. That in fact, Reb Lezer in the Mishnah holds Chayzer means that it's undone, it's nullified. Yes, in fact, Lishmiya. Had he not heard the explanation, Lishmiyale Hadachi Asa Rav and Amar Yechnan, Vamla Sam say Rav Lazar, Amar Bisham Lazar, Misham Mai Chayzer Chol Matola. Yeah, exactly true. Right on. When Rav Lazar says Chayzer means he loses his second portion, you know, the Bachar. So if only he would have heard this explanation, he wouldn't have had the Kashi. Yes, the answer is yes. So bottom line is, what's the status of the second portion of the Bachar Kam Yevil? Right, Torah says Yevil, give it all back, right, to show that, right, it's not the original owner is meant to be on the property as per Hashem's allocation. You bought it, it's temporary, right, until Yevil goes back, right. What about the Bachar in the second portion, according to the Shita Rav Meir and the Rabbanan, it's his to keep. However, since there's a status, there's an element of lekuach in that allocation, that element gets cancelled kam yevil. So it's reallocated, redivided if they choose to do so. But of course he gets back a second portion in the totality of the Yerusha. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, all those individuals in the Mishnah, including Bechar, are only temporary holders. And come Yevil, they relinquish their ownership. Okay, now for that last halacha in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yechon Breka Aymer. Hayorish has Yishto, Yachsav Nemeshbach. He yorish his wife, he gives it back, he gets refunded. What's going on here? Is it his or not? Michael Savar, what's Rabbi Yechon's position on this? Ika Savar, Yorish Sabaldei Raisa. He holds that the husband inherits his wife Minat Torah. So why is he giving anything back? It's his to keep. Why give it back to the family? A Yorish as Yishtei, according to Ramei and the Rabbanon, is a permanent status. He keeps it forever. Because Sava Yorish about the Rabbanon, if he holds that it's only the Rabbanon, in which case it's only a temporary ownership till Yevil, okay, so come Yevil, give it back. Why are you entitled to a refund? Why are you entitled to compensation? Domim, this payment, my vetai, what's the money doing there? Lo'elam kasavar Yorish about the rice. Truthfully, he holds that a husband is entitled to keep the Yerusha Minat Torah. I'm not talking about a standard scenario. Rather, it's something unique that's going on. V'ocha Ma'eskin was speaking about a unique case. Going, for instance, Sherishasa Ishtabes HaKvaris. That was, he inherited a family plot in the Beis HaKvaris from his wife. And it's dishonorable for the family to have a stranger own this plot, a family plot. Because of begam mishpacha, dishonor to the family. That's why he gives it back. That's why Rabbanu compelled him to give it back in exchange for compensation. Lishkol made to take money and give it back. The sign is we find a similar halacha. A person in desperation sold off his plot. He had a kever, he sold it off. Their kiver, the root to is the path to his kiver, the place where they stand to console, where they make the eulogy. Halach is, the family has a right upon this person's passing to bury him in that spot. Bal karcha, against the will of the lekeach of the buyer. Mishim b'ka mishpach. In order to uphold the honor of the family, so this is his plot, this is, So likewise, now a case, we compel him to return the plot for compensation. Umay yinakala min adam. Now what does the Mishnah mean? He has to deduct from the compensation. What does that mean? Yeah, to make every ishtay, the cost of his wife's grave, which he's responsible for. He has to look after her burial. It's a Zacharias. Rashi says, "Uchay b'krosa, dami b'sach k'suva." It's one of the obligations the husband has to his wife. So although he's entitled to be compensated for the return of the plot, but that little corner, the place where his wife's buried, that he's that's on him. And that's deducted from the total compensation. Okay, so in the Mishnah we have halacha that property is returned to the owner, kam yovel, but only by a sale, not a bachur, not Yerusha, not Yivum, not even Matana, according to the Chacham, according to Rabbi Elazar, all goes back. Because he holds even by Matana, he knows that all these have a status of matana. We learned the halacha about because of pgam mishpacha, the plan has to be returned to exchange for compensation minus nekevrisht. Surah is all the best to you and hatzlacha rabba. Haran loch yesh bachar.